that yesterday one of the rabbonim from one of the high schools in the neighborhood called the shayla that the boy got nicely in there. But the shayla is they can't say, they're going to say klichas for half an hour. And by the time they're going to come to the end of shachas, they're going to be yested. So a lot of times in elementary schools to a greater extent, in high schools to a lesser extent, you have to be makatra a little bit on the slichas. So we know the basic outline of the slichas is you have the beginning is sukim, shemet, tfilot, techa, kabosa, yivoyim. Those are the easier parts. And then the last part, kel rachm shmecha, kechanu shmecha, msor, chinaman shmecha, chinaman amitecha, the easy part. That's in the days of the Tanaim, that's in the Mishnah, the middle part, but the difficult Hebrew, that's what the Rishonim composed there. But we usually say the Yud Gimel Lid is there in the middle. So if you want to cut out, so you should cut out the harder parts in the middle that are harder to understand. It's still going to be very long. In some places they have to be Mikatsu and the Shemet Tfil also. Maybe instead of 2 pages, they say 1 page, and in the end you have to maybe alternate. One day you say some piyutim, another day you say other piyutim. Then in the middle, if it's at an elementary school or a high school, you can't expect all the students, unless you have a tzaddikim there. You can't expect all the kids to say all of those things. You have no choice, you have to be mekatzer. Same in a lot of elementary schools or in high schools, they're mekatzer v'hurachon. You can't expect kids to say the whole v'hurachon. So the Achronim point out that v'hurachon was composed by 3 different tzaddikim, contemporaries. And the first third ends, Kerchanun Rach Meshmecho, and the second third also ends, Kerchanun Rach Meshmecho, and the third ends by Tachnu. So in some schools they instituted that they say, Monday they say 1/3, and Thursday they say the 2/3, and the next Monday they say the 3/3, and then the next Thursday they say go back to the 1/3, and so on. And they tell them that when they'll be older, when they'll be adults, they should try to say the whole Hurach. It's better to get them to say 1/3 than to pronounce all the words than to say the whole Hurach and leave out every other word. Told them they have to come out of Maharbi Shaloi B'Kavon. So in a lot of shuls also, it depends who your Balabatim are. So it depends which community you're going to be serving as a rabbi. A lot of shuls may have to be Mekatsim in the Slichas. One of the rabbis met me this week at a conference of Rabban. He said he sent in a shayla to the rabbinic alumni in his shul on Rosh Hashanah. He can't expect them to stay the whole davening. They're not going to stay so long. They're only going to stay an hour and a half. So he wants to be mekatzer everything. So he wanted to be mekatzer the haftorah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So I thought he says that he sent in the shayla to the rabbinic alumni. They told him that he's not allowed to. I said he should send in the shayla. He should call up the rabbi. He said he's not allowed to, and tell him some more details of who is Baal HaBatim on. Then maybe they'll say, tell him that he is allowed. So the Gemara says, Medina, you have to say on Shabbos, the Haftorah has to have a minimum of 20 Yom Pesukim, because there are 7 Aliyahs. The Haftorah is Mechuvin Keneged the Aliyah. So the 7 Aliyahs in each Aliyah has to have 3 Pesukim, a minimum of 20 Yom Pesukim. So the Haftorah has to have a minimum of 20 Yom Pesukim, unless it's Shalim in Yonan. On Yontif, and you only have 5 aliyahs, and each aliyah has 3 psukim, so the haftarah has to have a minimum of 15 psukim. The chuvin keneged the minimum number of psukim in the kriyas hatar. So the haftarah for Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, has the whole story of chana, and then it has the whole tfilos chana. So either one or the other would be good enough to have the 15 psukim. I didn't think it was necessary that he should be matriach. The Baal HaBatim is going to be mekatzer, and all the piyutim is going to be mekatzer, and the Pesuk of the Zimmer is going to be Mekatzah and everything else. So I thought it should be Mekatzah and the Haftarah also. Anyway, that's Stama problem. A lot of shuls, the people can't be expected to come to say Slichas before Alois HaShachar. And they're not going to say Slichas after Hanetzach HaMa either. They're in a rush to go to work. So a lot of shuls have the meaning that they say Slichas after Ma'ariv. The Daven Ma'ariv, whatever, early, and then they're going to say Slichas right there. So Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to say that that's not right. But we know that the Shas HaTzchak people do. Even when Rabbi Soloveitchik was an old sick man, and he himself used to daven at such a minyan, he used to say Slichas after the 10 o'clock minyan for Ma'ariv in the dormitory. Still, when he spoke in public for the status Rabbanim at the Kinnis Tshuvos, he used to say that it's not really right. But if you have Baal HaBatim, that's all. Either they're going to say Slichas then before Chatzai, they're not going to say it all. So I would think that you don't have to make a world war over the issue. You should try to introduce a second minyan. Some shuls, when they daven, at 10 o'clock and they say slichas, if they have enough balabatin, you won't break the minyan. So you should try to introduce another minyan for slichas, either before shachris or after hatzayis alayla. But if it's really necessary, I don't think it's right to make the balabatin crazy. It says in Shulchan Aruch that the minig is that on Erev Rosh Hashanah in the morning at the end of the slichas you say tachnun, because roif pa'ami, most of the time you're going to finish the slichas before Alos HaShachar. By us it's just not the case. We don't start saying the slichas until after Alos HaShachar. It's not shach, we're going to finish before Alos HaShachar. From the stomach by us, the practice should be that you should delete the tachnun. Just like we don't say tachnun on Erev Rosh Hashanah, in the davening, Shmoneses, so right after Shmoneses, so you should leave out the Tachnun at the end of the Slichas as well. Unless you really started Slichas so early in the morning that you expected to finish before Los HaShachar, so then the meaning of the Shulchan Aruch applies, and in such a case, you would say Tachnun even if at the end of the Slichas, even if you happen to finish after Los HaShachar. Some communities, they have a meaning that in the Slichas of Aseres and Etshuva, they say the piyut that's called Yud Gimel Midas, they say that on they choose to say that on the Monday or Thursday before Yom Kippur, as opposed to saying it when it's printed. So it all depends what the minhag hamakom is. Then I'll deed them over here. If that's the minhag hamakom, okay. If it's not the minhag hamakom, say you don't. The rabbi has to go through the deedim of Tkiya Shofar to make sure that the Baal Tekev blows properly. The problem usually is that the Balei Tekiya are mekatzer on the Tekiyas. You have to always encourage the Balei, the true with the Shvarim that they know how to do, but the Tekiyas usually they make short. So you have to have them make long Tekiyas. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Taisus in the end of Rosh Hashanah, that the Tekiya of Tashrat should be longer than the Tekiya of Tashat or the Tekiya of Tarat. Because the Gemara says the Tekiya is supposed to be the length of the true in the middle. So if you have Shvarim Trua, so then you have 18 Trumitin. And if you have only Shvarim, or you have only Trua, that's going to be 9 Trumitin in the middle. So the length of the Tekiya should correspond to the length of the Shvarim, or the Shvarim Trua in the middle. The Shad is how long is the Trumitin, how long are the 9 Trumitin, how long are the 18 Trumitin. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that it's 9 seconds and 18 seconds. The 18 seconds only labeled bullets can blow a Tekiya 18 seconds long. Everyone else would drop dead. What shayach? He can't blow such a long key. The pashtus is that it's probably something like 3.5 seconds is 9 true meters, and probably 7 seconds is already the 18 true meters. The sum is something like that. But you have to encourage the Balei Tekiya that they should make long keys. How long the Tekiya Gedolah has to be? As long as he wants. That's only minhagim. That's not stated that the Tekiya Gedolah has to be any specific length. Whether you have to tell the Baal Tekiya to repeat a Tekiya. Let's say he did a Tekiya, then he blew Shvarim Trua and it didn't work out well. So on Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that Niskal doesn't count. If he attempted to make a Kol and it didn't work out well, so that doesn't count as a Hefzer Kol Acher, then you should have to go back to the beginning Kol. When would you have to go back? In a very, very rare case, by us it never comes up. Let's say that they're supposed to be blowing Shvarim and the Baal Tekiya blows Trua. He already blew Tekiya Shvarim Trua. Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya, Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya. The next one is supposed to be Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya, so he blows all of a sudden Tekiya Trua. So that, in that case, the Trua doesn't belong at all. So you tell him that's not Niskal. He didn't attempt to make a Shvarim. He made a mistake and he made a Trua in such a case. So then, you can really leave it the way it is and have that as a Tekiya Trua Tekiya, and then do another two Tekiya Trua Tekiyas, and then do one leftover Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya. You're going to Tzedrei the whole island. The people won't know what's going on. So best is that at that point you should correct it and blow Tekiya Shvarim Tekiya. So since he blew a Trua, that wasn't a Niskal. It's not that he attempted to make a Shvarim and it just didn't go well. That's partially a mistake. So then you have to do over the Tekiya in the beginning. Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice happened to be that he was machzor the Baal Tekiya whenever he made a mistake, even if it was Niskal. Even if he attempted to blow a Shvarim, attempted to do something and it just didn't work out. So he used to have people, they were blowing over all the time, and the Balabatim got all confused. They didn't know whether it was used to have him blow kiyah. Then they blew shvarim, and they didn't like the way the shvarim came out. So he said kiyah. So everybody thought it's the tkiyah shalachreho. No, that was the tkiyah shalafaneho. Then he said shvarim. What do you mean shvarim? It's supposed to be tkiyah. So he, the oilam used to be confused. Anyway, so that's part of the psak is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to issue a psak that's tamu al rabin. You have to be careful also when you tell the Baal Tekeh to blow over again. It has to be done in such a fashion that the people will understand what's going on. And Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is that Niskal, the Baal Tekeh attempted to blow the correct kol, and it just didn't come out good, so then we say that you don't have to do over. Even when you have to do over, you only have to do over that line. You never go back to the beginning. Let's say he did Kiya Shvarm Tkiya Tkiya Shvarm Tkiya Tkiya, and then he blows a Teruah in the middle of nowhere that doesn't belong. So you just go back to the beginning of that line. You don't go back to the beginning of the whole Seder. That's in the Shulchan Aruch. Then also it says that you only machzid about the chaos. He makes a mistake either in the Tkiyas the Miyushav before Musaf or Tkiyas the Miyum in the middle of Hazaras Hashad. But if everything he did was good, he just makes a mistake in the Hashlomas Meir Koilas after the Hazaras Hashad. So the Meir Koilas is only a minik. So you're not, you don't make the Baal Tekeh crazy over there. You're not machzir. Unless you're concerned that maybe some of the koilas were no good in the Tkiyas the Miyushav, Tkiyas the Miyumad. And you're going to need some of these tkiyas after the Hazaras Hashas to be mashlim the three tashrats and the three tarats and the three tashat. It's a different story. But under normal circumstances, that shouldn't be the case. That shouldn't happen. Shulchan Aruch quotes the machlokes whether tashrat should be done by neshima achas or b'shtei neshimas. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends that you should do both. You should do half and half. So the Shulchan Aruch happens to recommend the one direction. Who had the nami the other direction? The Shulchan Aruch recommends you should blow the tkiyas before the chazor, before Musaf. Tkiyas the Miyushav should be blown the Neshima Achas, and the tkiyas in the middle of Chazor HaSashah should be blown the Shtei Neshimas. Why suggest like that? What's wrong if you do the reverse? So the Vilna Gaon explains that suggestion of the Mechaber only applies in those places where they had the practice to follow the Rabbeinu Tam, which we don't follow. Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that after Malchus and after Zacharias and after Shofar, you just blow Tashrat, one Tashrat. So Mimonavshach, if it's supposed to be Tashrat, you have it. It's supposed to be Tashat, you have it. It's supposed to be Tarat, you have it. Aye, but you have it. If it's supposed to be Tashat or Tarat, you have a Hefzer Kol Achav Bintai. So the Rabbeinu Tam says there is no such thing as Hefzer Kol Achav Bintai. It doesn't exist. It doesn't bother us. So he says in the middle of Chazaras Hashas, if the minigat, but nobody has that practice today. Nobody does like the Rabbeinu Tam. So if there are different practices, the minig ha'olam is like the shalom. Most places the minig is like the shalom. That after Malchus and after Zacharias and after Shofar, the Baal Tekeh blows Tashrat once and Tarat once. In Broyas and by other Yekis, they still maintain the minig b'shtei yeshivas. They never changed anything. They still observe the minig in shtei yeshivas that the Rif says it doesn't make any sense, and the Goyim say it doesn't make any sense. That they blow Tashrat after Malchus, Tashat after Zechrenis and Tarat after Shofar. So all the Balei Yotzei, all the Rishayim said, what is that all about? What is that? It doesn't make any sense. Manavshach, for sure you're not Yotzei. So they were Me'ashev it, whatever it is. They were Me'ashev the minig HaGoyim. So the whole world moved on and they changed the minig. And by a lot of Yekishi communities, they maintain that minig. So if you happen to be a rabbi in a Yekishi community, let them continue with their minig. They're carrying on the minig from the Shtei Yeshivas in the days of the Goyim. They claim this in the days of the Gemara like that. But the minig b'roiv hamikaymus is that we don't do like that. So again, the Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon explains, in those places where they follow the Rabbeinu Tam's practice, that you're going to blow Tashrat once after Malchus and once after Zechrenis and once after Shofar. So if you're going to blow that b'neshima achas, and it's really supposed to be Tarat, or it's really supposed to be Tashat, so even though the Rabbeinu Tam holds that a hefzer kol achav in time doesn't pass, so that's only if the Hefzer Kol Achav was B'Neshima B'Fnei Atzmo. But if you have a Hefzer Kol Achav B'Os HaNeshima, so that's going to ruin the whole Teruah. It's going to ruin the whole Shvarim. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch recommended in that direction. You should do Tashrat in the Chazaras Hashat B'Shtei Neshima. If you're only blowing Tashrat after each of Malchus Chen HaShofar, so if it's supposed to be Tarat, you have it. It's supposed to be Tashat, you have it. And there wasn't a Hefzer Kol Achav in that Neshima. But we don't do like the Rabbeinu Tam. We blow Tashrat Tashat Tarat after Malchus, Tashrat Tashat Tarat after Zechrenis, and Tashrat Tashat Tarat after Shofar. So it does make a difference whether the Baal Tekeh, I just make up with the Baal Tekeh. One set is going to be Menashim Achak, One set is going to be Mishnei Nishim. The Shabbos, if you blow for a chayla, go to the hospital. So the meaning is that you don't blow mea chayla. Meaning mea chayla is only in shul. You only blow shloshim chayla. So you're just going to blow three times tashrat. So is that supposed to be Mishnei Achas, or is that supposed to be Mishnei Nishim? Bottom line, how do we really pass him? Shulchan Aruch recommends you should satisfy both opinions. Satisfy both opinions if you're going to blow six times tashrat. But if you're only going to blow three times tashrat, the bottom line, how do you pass him? So that's the machlekes, how to pass him. Machlekes are Rishonim, that's machlekes, how to pass him. So the Ramah says, the Ikar Adin is that you do it b'shtei nishim. And the blowing b'nishim achas is just what he has to say to satisfy the other opinions, to make them happy. So if you're blowing for a chayla, you're only going to blow three times tashrat. So the Ramah says you blow b'shtein Hashemis, that's the ikedin. Al-Kalvet Yigob used to say fakir, that the ikedin is that you really blow tashrat b'nishima achas. And he used to blow in his shul, he used to blow 102 koilas. Why 102? Because they blew 30 koilas tkiz the miyushov, 30 koilas in, they used to blow in the shtilish man esra, and 30 koilas in the chazar sashat. Okay. But if you have a normal shul, you blow in the Tefillah Balachash, that's Rav Soloveitchik used to say from his grandfather Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim used to blow in Tefillah Balachash because he had a very small minion. Rav Chaim davened in the shul, in the big shul of Brisk and Rosh Hashanah, he would not blow in the Shtilish Manas because it just caused the complete confusion that people didn't know what was going on. Rav Ben Nezer writes in his Chuvis, he was a Chassidish, he read this about Chassidim, they blow in Tkiyas the Miyushal. And they blow in the Shtilish Manas. He says, if not for the fact that that's what I do for a living, I would never have them blow in the Shtilish Manas. It makes such confusion. People don't know where they're holding, they don't know what he's blowing, everybody's in a different brach in the Shmanas. So Rav Soloveitchik said, name Rav Chaim, if you have a small minion, Maimonides was always a very tiny minion. There was less than 40 people, less than 30 people a lot of times. Hardly anybody there. There was barely a minion. So men and the women, there was less than 30, 40 people. So if you have a small minion, so he said, it's kedai to introduce kiyas in the Shtilish Shmanas. So let's say if you don't have a small minion, so you're going to blow three times 30 koilas, you got to blow before Shmon Esrei, then in Chazar HaSashat, and after Chazar HaSashat, middle of Kaddish, after Kaddish. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, all three times you should blow B'Nishim Achas. Then at the end, you should blow three times Tashrat, B'Shtei Nishim is to satisfy that other opinion. But he really helped, that's how by him they blew 102 koilas. Because instead of blowing Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, to be Mashlim in Meir Koilas, so he blew Tashrat three times to satisfy the opinion that that it's really supposed to be B'Shtei Nishim. So that's a shayla halacha lemaisa. If you're blowing for a chayla, you're not going to have the luxury. You're not going to blow six times tashrat. You're only going to blow three times tashrat. So should your three tashrat be b'nishim achas or b'shtei nishimas? So again, in Shulchan Aruch there are more paskins that should be b'nishim achas. He holds that that's the ikar adin. Rav Soloveitchik told Farkeh that the ikar adin, it's really supposed to be b'shtei nishimas. If you're only blowing three times tashrat, it should be b'shtei nishimas. I remember when I was in the rabbinate for a short period of time. So the Balabatim were very appreciative that I was there because the Baal Tefila made a major mistake and they didn't know what to do. The major mistake was that in Mincha, when the Chazan was davening Chazor HaSashat, he forgot to say the Chain Tein Pachtavon. At the end of the Kedusha, he said, Udo Vado Nagiz Galach, and he said, Hamelech HaKadosh, finished. He didn't say the Chain Tein Pachtavon. So that was a Shaila, does he have to be Chazor or not? So the Pesach in Shulchan Aruch is that the Shaila is not even brought up in Shulchan Aruch. It's assumed that Dovah Pashas, that V'chein Tein Pachdach has just appeared like all the Piyutim. And if the Chazan forgets a Piyut, you don't have to repeat the Shmanas. Like if the Chazan forgets Achreina Lechaim, Amicham Orcha or something, that's one of the Piyutim. So you don't have to daven off. Shaila is, what if you have a shul with everybody, most shuls that do like that, instead of saying Hamavarcha, Samisol Ba'Shalom, they say Oseh HaShalom. The minik svard is that you say Hamavarcha Samisol Bashom. That's what's printed in the svardish machzorim. And minik Ashkenaz is printed in the machzorim that you say in the Saras Yemei Tshuva Oseh HaShalom. And there's only going and Rav Chaim Volozhin to say that that's not right. That you're not allowed to be mishana the nusach habroche. Igmor just says that you change two broches. You say instead of Akel HaKadosh you say Melech HaKadosh, and instead of whatever you say all year long you say Melech HaYitzdokel Mishpat. All year long you say Akel HaMishpat HaMelech. Melech Eitzdok HaMishpot. On Seres Mei Tshuva, you say HaMelech HaMishpot. And the Rebbe says in the Gemara that you're supposed to say the Nusach HaBrocha of HaMavrocha Yisham Yisrael Basholem to Oes HaShom. So that's what the Gros felt, that it wasn't right. I remember once in Maimonides, Baal Tefila, the fellow had Yortzeit. on there was a balabas had yard site on Rosh Hashanah, so he used to daven for anamid. And he was a pashut, a very nice man. It was a pashut that balabas wasn't a learned person, so he said the bracha say shalom. Rav Soloveitchik made him repeat the bracha. That's already a chiddush to say that even by the yebid you're not yet to the bracha. That's questionable because usually the post can have a rule that whenever there's a shita who holds that that's the correct nusach bracha lachatchila, so even though we don't follow that shita, but by the yebid if he said that bracha, so we assume that he yet to by the yebid. So the ranuscha is that they say all year long I'll say shalom. That's not ranuscha, but they quote in sidurim that there are such nuscha. So to say that even by the yebid, if a person finished the bracha and said, "Asel shalom, not yet to be yevet," that's already hard to say. So, is it right to change the nusach? If the minig amokim is that they say "Asel shalom," so it depends. If it's going to cause a whole world war, so you don't mishara the nusach. If the balabatim will be happy to listen, then they'll go along. So, the proper thing is that you should correct it, like the Gomer Gaon said. As the Rav Soloveitchik used to encourage all of the rabbonim to introduce slichas in the shul on Yom Kippur. That the Orach HaShulchan complains about the fact that they left out all the slichas on Yom Kippur and Chazaras HaShat. You only have by Nehila, you have all the slichas printed, and many times you say Yud Gimel Minis, and you have by Meiriv, and by Chazaras HaShat of Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, the printer left out all the slichas. And before that generation, all the Machzorim had slichas for Shachris, Musaf and Mincha, and the Gaonim have different traditions. How many times they say Yud Gimel Minis? Say 13 times in this tefillah, 7 times, 9 times, 3 times, 4 times. All the Rishonim, all of the Mordechai with the Rosh and the Rav Yehuda, they all give different numbers how many times you say. So the printers didn't want to get involved in machlokes, so they left out all the slichas. You don't say it all, you'll give them later. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to encourage the Rabbanim that they should reintroduce the slichas. That's by hearing yeshiva. They introduced slichas in the middle of the Chazaras HaShatz, the Shachris, the Musaf, the Mincha, in addition to the slichas that you say by Meiriv. Meiriv is not Chazaras HaShatz, and by Nehila. So then she used to say 7 times Yud Gimel Midas by Shachris, by Musaf, and by Mincha. Rather than follow the different Minhagim, the 13 times and 4 times, and he said 7 times each one. But also he didn't say all those long piyutim. He didn't say the long piyutim and then say at the end of the whole piyutim Yud Gimel Midas. He used to say every stanza. At the end of every stanza, he would say Yud Gimel Midas. So he got it 7 times by saying one piyut. Instead of saying 7 long piyut, he said Yud Gimel Midas after the conclusion of each stanza of one piyut. Now, we have to say so many piyutim, especially if people don't understand the word. Shulchan Aruch says that the proper thing is to be mekatzer in the Mishnah Berachah and to be mekatzer in the piyutim in Shachris on Yom Kippur. See, Rosh Hashanah, the Shada doesn't come up, and on Yom Kippur it comes up. That in a lot of shuls they take so long to daven, so they don't begin to daven tefillah b'lachash ha-musaf till after 12:30 or now 1:30. So that's already the zman mincha. So the Gemara says when it's holding by zman mincha, and the person is prepared to daven musaf and mincha, and he doesn't care whether he's going to daven musaf first and mincha first. So then the Gemara says we pass kantor b'sheni torah tari kodim. He's supposed to daven mincha first. So in shul, it's machlekes harishanim, whether that makes sense or not. So the Rambam and half of the Rishonim say you only do that on a private basis. A yochid does that, but in tzibur you don't sidrei the oilam. Sometimes we're going to daven mincha first, then we're going to daven musaf. We're going to completely confuse the oilam. And others hold on that even with tzibur you got to do like that. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's not right to get involved in the machlekes. So you should make sure that the chazan starts the tefillah b'lachash ha-musaf before 12:30. I remember once my father it was getting late. And the chazan in our shul used to have a whole dramatic presentation of Hinini. He used to march from the back of the shul all the way up to the front, and he said slowly, "Hinini, I'm not." It took 25 minutes. It's going to take 25 minutes with this. And the Baal Batan thought that was the peak of the davening, but the Hinini on any mark. That was much like Kol Nidri or something. That was the most important thing. So my father told me, "You can't say Hinini today." So the Baal Batan almost got a heart attack. No Hinini. That's the main part of the davening. So you got to tell the Gaboyim. Either you leave out the Mishaberach. So usually on Yom Kippur, people pay a lot of money for an aliyah, so they want to say Mishaberach for all of their great grandchildren, all their cousins, everything, so it takes forever. So the Rabbanim have to make sure that if you start Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, it's usually not a problem. No one's going to start Musaf after 1:30, but on Yom Kippur, it's a problem. Many women have the shaila, they want to bench licht on Erev Yom Kippur, then they want to drive to Shul. So the din is that if there's a shas hatzchak, he can Shulchan Aruch, they quote the opinion of the Bahag, that once the woman benches, the opinion of the Bahag is that once the woman benches list on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Kippur, it's a Kabbalah Tasef to Shabbos Bal Korcha for all the Bnei Abayis, for the whole family. We're not even choshish lachatchilu for that. We're only machmer for half of the Bahag. It's a Kabbalah Tasef to Shabbos for the Balas Abayis, not for the Bnei Abayis. And even that, that's only lachatchilu lechumra. That if there's some great need, why she has to do malachi after she bench lifts, and then she should have in mind, she should say it tonight. If she has in mind, it's enough that she's not mekabel kedushas hayom of Shabbat. That the woman has to go to mikveh, so she can bench lift with a bracha and have in mind or say that she's not mekabel Shabbat. Yes, so this is good on any normal erev Shabbos if there's a shachar tzad. But if she wants to drive to shul on Yom Kippur, then there's going to be a problem. The Gemara says in erev, and this is the Gemara that the whole Bahag is based on. The original Gemara says in Erev and Daf Mem on the days that if you say Shehechiyonu on Erev Yom Kippur, so that's a Kabbalah Tasefes Yom Kippur Bal Korchon. You can't say Shehechiyonu and have in mind not to be Mekabel Tasefes Yom Kippur. So what do you say Shehechiyonu for? It's a Brocha L'Matzova. You have to tell the women if they plan to drive to Shul, if they plan to do a Malacha after they bench licht on Erev Yontif, any Erev Yontif like that. Usually the women say Shechyonu when they bench lich on Erev Yontif. That's some problematic. The Achreinim say that it's not really correct. That the Gemara says all of us can say Shechyonu while we're walking in the street. The Gemara says, man, I'm Rafila Bashuk, you can say Shechyonu while you're walking on the street, but it's more proper to say Shechyonu at the conclusion of the Kiddush, that you enhance the Hashivas of the Bracha by saying the Bracha Ala Kos. And Yom Kippur, we're not going to say Ala Kos. Unless they pay some Shvur Sukkot, you enhance the Hashivas of the Bracha. So if your wife has the minig, if your mother has the minig, for sure don't fight with your mother. If your wife has the minig, say try to negotiate with your wife, try to convince her that she should rely on your shechiyonu when you're gonna say the kiddush. If she insists, what can you do? So it's not worth ruining your shalom bais over that issue. So let them say shechiyonu when they bench lift. But if it's erev yontif, erev yom kip, and the woman wants to say shechiyonu and she wants to make it tonight that she's still gonna do malacha. So that's for sure not correct. That's an offer in the Gemara. That the Gemara says the Farish. Once you say Shechyonah on Erev Yom Kippur, this Kabbalah Tosefes Yom Kippur Bal Korchon. When I was in the rabbinate, in this tiny little shul that only had less than 15 balbatim, my rabbinate was only for 5 years in Paramus. So they had the Shaila V'Chayla eating on Yom Kippur. There was a woman who had a serious condition. She later died. At a very young age, she died because of this condition, so she had to eat on Yom Kippur. So you have to know the dinim of Machila Moso, Pachas Pachas Mikishir. So in the Shulchan Aruch, that's the way it says, that whenever you have to be Mechal Shabbos, whenever you have to eat on Yom Kippur, in order to save someone's life, so you try to minimize the Yisr. So the din is, Achot Tishir is Asam and Atar, but there's no chorus on it. So if you lead a chatzis shir and wait, and they lead another chatzis shir later and wait, pause, tuk de achilos pras, so they won't, the chatzoy shurim will not be mitzvah from yachad. So in that case, you're minimizing the iser. Instead of violating the iser achila b'yam kippur to the extent of being chayv kores, it's going to be mutter anyway, but you should try to lessen it. That's why it says in Shonoch, you should lessen the iser, in order that it should only be an iser of a chatzis shir as opposed to a shir shol. That's the way they paskin all over the world, except for Valojin. Soloveitchik writes in his Isha Halacha that when his father took his first rabbinical position, so Rab Chaim made him promise with the Tkiyas Kaf that he's not going to follow the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch, he's going to follow the Psak of the Yeshiva in Valojin. The Netziv writes. The Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva in Valojin the last 39 years. Valojin lasted for 90 years. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years, and he learned as a Talmud in Valojin. So he heard from the Nachlas David. Nachlas David was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Valojina, who wrote the Nachlas David on Bava Kam and Bava Metzia. And Nachlas David gave Shurim in Valojin also, Bechai Rav Chaim Valojina. He heard from the Nachlas David that this was the Psak of Rav Chaim Valojina, that if the person is ready, Achodesh Yesh Besakona, then you're not Makbin on Pachas Pachas Mikishir. Because the Magid Mishnah says on the Rambam, that when you have to be Mechal Shabbos and Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, so you do Kol Tzarachot. So he said, if a person is a Chayla and he has to eat, so you tell him, if he's a Chayla Mesukan, then you tell him to eat Kol Tzarachot. If the person is not a Chayla, let's say it's an older person, and you're afraid if they're going to fast, then they may get sick. So then you have the din of eating Pachas Pachas B'Kashir. But this woman that I had, this woman was a Chayla Mesukan. She had some kind of a condition that she died a few years after I left, very soon. She died at a very young age, in her 30s, I think. So if the person already is a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, so then then Rav Chaim Balazhin had that P'sak, and then Tziv writes it, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik again. People make a mistake because Rav Soloveitchik only tells the end of the story. He says Rav Chaim Soloveitchik made his father promise that he's going to pass come again. So people think that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik invented the P'sak. The blame is to be placed on Rav Chaim Balazhin. And the Netziv, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. So the Netziv said over the P'sak, he wrote it in safe that he heard it from the Nachmas David, that it comes from Rav Chaim Balazhin, and based on Rishonim, based on this Magid Mishnah. Rav Velvela has it in a sefer that they asked his father, why are you so mekel on the Surei Yom Kippur? So he said, he's machmer on Pikuach Nefesh. Don't look at me like I'm a mekel, I'm a machmer on Hilchus Pikuach Nefesh. So that depends who your balabatim are. If you have balabatim, a lot of the balabatim know that you got to eat pachas b'kishir. So don't make them crazy. If they want to eat pachas b'kishir, so let them do like that. But if you have a chayla mesukan and he's asking you what the din is, okay, so then if he doesn't know on his own, he's asking you, Rabbi, what's the din? So then, if you want, you can follow Rav Chaim Balazhin, follow Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Rav Soloveitchik that you eat normally, called Tzarachov. Regarding children fasting, the children fast when they're not supposed to fast. The biggest chumrah, there are different opinions. The biggest chumrah in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch is a boy becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 13, a girl at the age of 12. So if the child is healthy, sometimes they're not healthy, but in America usually they're over healthy. They're very healthy. So usually, sometimes they're sickly. But if the child is very healthy, so 2 years before bar mitzvah he should fast the whole day, and 2 years before, 2 years before, he should fast only a half a day. And before that, you have to tell him he shouldn't even fast a half a day. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in the Talmud Yerushalmi that you're afraid the child is going to get sick. He's not going to drop dead. He's not going to die. But you shouldn't let the child fast even if he wants to, if he's earlier than that. Some people have a meaning that the last three fasts before it becomes bar mitzvah, the last three tanaisim before. So they fast on Tisha B'Av and they fast on Sarah B'Tanis, whatever the last three tanaisim happens to be. That's not a correct meaning. There's no chinach at all on Tisha B'Av. It says there's no chinach on Shavuos B'Tamuz, Asarah B'Tevis. Before Bar Mitzvah you don't fast at all. You only fast Yom Kippur, and you have to fast the whole day 2 years before, not the last three fast days before. And 2 years before, 2 years before, you fast the half a day, and that's all. When you make a sukkah, you got to be careful. A lot of sukkahs in the shuls are possible. The rabbanim don't bother to look in the kitzur shulchan aruch. I visited prominent shuls in New York City with a sukkah where the rabbi eats. A sukkah in the shul where the rabbi eats is possible. So first of all, there's a din that you have to have shtayim kelchosim or shlishis afilo tefach, but you got to know how the shlishis afilo tefach is. I remember I visited a balabos in Muncie. He davened by Rabbi Tendler. So he never stayed home for sukkahs. He always went to Eretz Yisrael, so he never used the sukkah. So it wasn't a shad, but he was showing us there was some OU function there, so he was one of the balabatim in the OU. So he's showing us where he just rebuilt his home and he made this sukkah. And look at this, there's nothing here. And Rabbi Tendler said the sukkah is good. So I told him, you better ask Rabbi Tendler again. That sukkah is not good. So I told, when I met Rabbi Tendler in Shiva, I told him, I drew a diagram. So I said, that's not what I told him. The Balabas didn't understand. Shtayim kelchos mashlish afilo tefach. You have to have lovewood, and it has to be slightly more than a tefach. It's a complicated story. So we don't rely on that, because you can make a mistake, as this Balabas made a mistake. The Tzedek Shonoch is try to have three walls that are shalom. And then the schach has to be within three tefachim to the wall. Let's say you have a sukkah so gigantic, you have walls, four walls around, and you don't have so many people eating in the sukkah, so we're just going to crowd around in the middle, and we're going to have schach in the middle, and the schach is going to be far away from the walls. And the Mishnah says it's no good. The schach has to be within three tefachim to the walls. A lot of times people have heavy schach in the middle, a few layers of schach, and there's no schach at all when it comes to the wall. So you have to take off part of the thickness of the schach and make sure that the schach connects up with the wall. Otherwise, that wall is not starved to the schach, to the sukkah. The Gemara talks about the chashivas of having noye sukkah. It would appear that it's in addition to the standard din of noye mitzvah. It would appear, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, that it's an enhancement a specific enhancement of sukkah. So the Gemara talks so much about noy sukkah and sukkah. It doesn't seem to be the general universal din of noy mitzvah. So Rav Shlomo thought it's an enhancement of the mitzvah of sukkah because you need teshu kein sadur. Some people usually live in their homes, so they have paintings on the wall, or they have chandeliers, or they have fancy noye habayis. A noye sukkah enhances the mitzvah sukkah. So the Gemara says if the noye sukkah are on the walls, no problem, but if the noye sukkah are hanging from the schach, so it should be within four tfachim to the schach. Machlokes in the Gemara, and the maskanas of Gemara says it should be within four tfachim. There are many sukkahs. We're not allowed to sit in the sukkah. I remember I once visited the Bobavir sukkah in Barakah. The thing was solid noye sukkah from wall to wall, and all the noye sukkah was way more than four tfachim lower than the schach. So no one is yet to anything in the sukkah. You're not yet to anything there. There is a machlokes amaroim. There is a machlokes atanoim in the Mishnah Sukkah, and it's not clear what they're fighting about. So there's a machlokes amaroim. What the pshat in the machlokes atanoim is? So there's one opinion in the Gemara that there's one opinion among the tanoim that we probably shouldn't pass them like anyway, even if there is such an opinion that if imam is b'schach pasul, so the sukkah is no good. So because there is one obscure opinion in the Rishonim that that's how you paskin, so that's the way it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch lechatchila. Chatzili, you should be machme not to have this sukkah, not to have this chak supported on something that's possible. So let's say you have a metal frame holding the chak, and the chak is all resting on this metal frame. So that's called the metal frame is not gidule karka. Metal is karka, mam is not gidule karka. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that chatzili you should be choshish for that opinion that the chak should not be resting on a mam. We mikra din, we really don't paskan like that. So if you have a sukkah like that, you don't have to make everybody crazy and tell them that you're to the sukkah that you eat somewhere else. Mikra din, it's really kosher. L'chatzchila mehecha teisa. You should be choshish for that. Then in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah quote from the Ramban that that's only if the schach kosher is resting directly on the dover hamakabel tumah or on the metal frame which is a non gidule karka. What if it's a situation of mamid de mamid? So then it's not a problem. So the Magen Avraham says, what's an example of Mamed de Mamed? So he says, if you put a little, let's say you have this metal frame, then you put the four wooden beams across on top of the metal frame, and then you put your schach on top of the four wooden beams. So we consider that as Mamed de Mamed. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham. So it's famous now, the Chazon Ish tainted against that's a misunderstanding and that's a distortion of what the Ramban said. He never said that. Why should you consider the four wooden beams as the mamid of the schach? You say the schach on top, let's say you have evergreens on top, so the evergreen, the branches on top is the schach, and the four wooden beams is the mamid, and the metal frame is the mamid of the mamid. Why should you designate it like that? Why don't you say the four wooden beams together with the evergreens, that's the schach, and all of this schach is sitting on top of the metal bars? That's not a mamid de mamid. Chazon Ish Tainus, if you're going to call that mamid de mamid, so let's say you have schach that's 2 inches thick that's sitting on top of this metal frame. To say the bottom inch is not schach, we'll say the upper inch of the schach is the schach. The bottom inch is mamid de schach, so it's only mamid de mamid. You don't split the schach in half. You say the lower half of this, only the upper half of the schach is schach, the bottom half of the schach is mamid, the upper half, and the male is a mamid de mamid. You never split like that. So that's the Chazon Ish's taina. So he says it's only going to be mamid de mamid if the metal is somewhere else. But if the metal is holding up the wooden beams which are holding up the schach, so the whole thing is all one big schach. So the Chazon Ish says mikra din, the whole thing is only a chumrin. The whole thing is kosher the way it is. But if you really want to be machmer for that opinion, so you have to avoid that as well. So some people will go for that Chazon Ish and others not. Pashtus is the Chazon Ish is really right, but you have to keep in mind the whole story of Mamed is only a Chumrah, and the whole din of Mamed we assume is only a Chumrah mid Rabbanan. Rashi writes on the Gemara that according to the opinion that Mamed b'schach pasul is no good, the Rashi sounds like he says that it's a psul deraisa, but we don't follow that in Shulchan Aruch. We assume that Mamed is only a psul deRabbanan. That's what there are more quotes in the name of the Ran. Let's say we have the schach resting on bricks. Let's say you have two walls, brick walls on the side. You have three brick walls. You have the schach resting on the bricks. You should say it's a mamid, the schach pasul. Bricks are no good for schach. It's not gedilah karka. So the Ram says, get a whole din of Mamet is only chumim with the Rabban unless you'll use that to be mesachech with that, with the metal frame. But bricks, everybody knows you can't make a roof with bricks. That's not a sukkah. So we have some Shulchan Aruch, the whole din of Mamet is only a shayla de Rabbanan to begin with. And Mikra, then we don't paskin like the whole story of Mamet. So that's why the minig, most people have the minig that they're not choshish with this chazanish. Even though the chazanish of Pipasht is really right over here. The whole thing is a chumrah to begin with. So for centuries we haven't been machma like that. It's an ishmachri. There is an issue if you have trees, if you have branches above the skak. So the Mishnah says that if you put the sukkah shasa tachas ilon, ilos avitar habay. So that's not good because the branches, the ilon, are mechuba lekarka. So that's possible to serve as skak. If you have schach kosher on top of schach posel, or schach posel on top of schach kosher, doesn't matter which one is above and below, doesn't matter which one was first, which one is second. Some Rishonim say it does matter who came first, and we don't pass like that. We pass, doesn't make a difference who came first, doesn't matter whether the kosher is above the posel, or the posel is above the kosher. We say whenever there's schach posel and schach kosher shading the same area, so then you have to discount that schach kosher and try to estimate whether you would have to lose a mirbo mechamasa with the schach kosher that's remaining after you discount all of that schach kosher that's mechulin keneged the schach pos. So you got to make sure that you have a branch, that one skinny branch on top. So what's the problem? Even if you discount that part of the schach in the middle, the sukkah is still going to be good most of the time. Sometimes if you have a small sukkah, so you won't have a zayin al zayin, that will be pos. But if you have a lot of branches on top and you would discount all of the schach that's mechulin keneged though, and you no longer have tzilos and mubay mechamasa machmas aschad, then you're going to have a problem. So it's always best to remove all of the branches on top. I remember once one of the rabbanim asked me to look at his sukkah in his school in the New York area. The schach was very high. He thought it was lamala meser mama. Lamala meser mama is very, very high. It happened that it was not lamala meser mama. It's not a chance. The canvas sukkahs are an old problem, that it says in Shulchan Aruch that if the fanos wave in the wind, it's any yuchal alamad beruch mitzuya, so it doesn't serve, it's not a kosher doifu. So this is a big machlokes what this means. So the Chazanish has a kula, Chazanish has a kula for a change. His opinion is that any yuchal alamad beruch mitzuya means that if the wind will blow to the extent that the doifen is no longer within 3 tefachim to the ground, so it's a mechitza kluya, it's no good. A mechitza has to be within 3 tefachim, both by Shabbos and by Sukkah. And if the mechitza, if the wind will blow it, then it won't be within 3 tefachim to the ground, it's no good. But let's say it's tied down on the bottom, and the wind will blow back and forth, it's going to bellow in and out, and it'll out, but it's always going to be within 3 tefachim to the bottom. So the Chazanish holds that that's not a problem. And he says, Mistim is dibri ha-poskim mashma. That's the Pashup Shah. All the Pashman say before the Chazanish, that's when whenever the Chazanish wants to say something original that's against everybody, so he writes, Mistim is the real Pashman. Get a certain expression. The classical Pashman assumes that a mechitza that bellows in the wind back and forth, even though it's not going anywhere, it's not flying away, it's tied down, so it's usually assumed that that's not kosher. The question is, how far does it have to blow that it should be posted? Some say it has to blow 3 tefachim away from where it should have blown. Some say it should blow 1 tefach away from where it should have blown. That's a problem. And even if you hold like the Chazanish, that even if it's blowing, it's good, everything is tied down. But the Shulchan Aruch recommends, Mechaber recommends, he's quoting from earlier Rishonim, that you should never use a cloth wall for a doifin, for a sukkah, because you tied it down well on the bottom, but it may untie and it may start flapping in the wind in such a way that it'll be possible and you may not even realize. So l'chatchila, they say that you shouldn't use these sukkahs. So the people who manufacture these sukkahs say, what are you talking about? But these were specifically manufactured with the holes in the canvas and the special wire and special string to tie it down over here. So since it's manufactured like that, so the chashash of the Shulchan Aruch doesn't apply. Shulchan Aruch talking, the guy's just making an ad hoc sukkah, just making like this. But if it's manufactured like this, could be, it's a tiny. There are many people who want to solve this issue with the canvas sukkah, so they tie strings around their sukkah, it looks awful. They tie strings around the sukkah within three tefachim to the ground. They tie a string around. It has to be very tight. They tie another string around. Each string is going to be within three tefachim to the other string. So even damehacha, even if there wouldn't have been any canvas at all, the strings constitute the tefanis for the sukkah. Yeah, but usually it looks awful. So if you can, if you have balabatim, the rabbi shouldn't have such an ugly looking sukkah. You got to have the sukkah should look pretty. Sometimes when you have a lot of rain on sukkahs, so the schach is going to fall off of the sukkah. So I remember one year where the year that my daughter got married in Eretz Yisrael, there was tremendous winds. So people had sukkahs. There was a sukkah on top of one porch, one bepeset, and the schach flew off, and the schach flew off on the lower sukkah. And the schach on the upper sukkah fell exactly on the lower sukkah. So I thought that was absolutely possible. That's not mishtatzav lemonos. It happened by itself. They put the schach on the upper sukkah, but when it fell on the lower sukkah, I thought other rabbanim said that it's kosher because it was put on the upper sukkah. I thought that was absolutely no good. Most of the people had that the schach fell down on the ground. So the din is you're not permitted to put schach on top of the sukkah on Shabbos and Yontif. First of all, because it's still from muktzah. And secondly, because it's misakin, you have a puzzle of sukkah, and this makes it into a kosher sukkah. The misakin man is only misakin man with the rabbanon; it's not a misakin man of the raisa. And the tilkum mukta is only the rabbanon. So if you need the sukkah to sit in, so it's permitted to ask a nochri. This was near Itika; there were no nochrim around, so it was hard to negotiate there. So if you're in America, we have nochrim on every corner, so you have to get a nochri to put the schach up. And that constitutes the shvuz b'makom mitzvah. It's not a problem. Chalamoid, there's no problem. Chalamoid, you're permitted to take the schach. If it falls off, you're permitted to pick it up and put it back on top. We have a din that a mitzvah is potam in our sukkah. Lailo harishon is a machlokes where the mitzvah is potam in our sukkah. So we pass and you sit. Let's say it's pouring the first night sukkah, so the second night sukkah. So with machmed that you eat in the sukkah the first night, kazayis. And you don't say a broch. You can't say a broch. It's a machlek. It's a rishon. Where the mitzvah 2 days in Tesis. Where the mitzvah spotman of sukkah applies the first night also. The one kind of mitzvah is if it's pouring in the sukkah. It's so uncomfortable. I wouldn't eat in my kitchen if it would be pouring like that. I wouldn't eat in my dining room. I would eat in the bedroom if it would be pouring in the shaila is if it would be if the sukkah is considered the dining room, the living room, the kitchen, and the bedroom, everything all together. So if it would be in your house and it would be raining into the dining room, you would not eat in your dining room, you would eat in the bedroom. So that's called mitzvah potam in asuk. But let's say it's a little bit, there's no steam in the dining room, and you would rather eat in the dining room and wear a sweater rather than eat in the bedroom. So then if it's chilly in the sukkah, so you got to eat in the sukkah. If it's so freezing in the sukkah that it will be so cold in the dining room, you would go eat in the bedroom. But then a mitzvah is potam in asukah. But if it's a little chilly, and you would not, if it would be inside your home, you wouldn't go from the dining room to the bedroom to eat in a crazy fashion bedroom. You would eat in the dining room and wear a coat. So then you got to eat in the sukkah and wear a coat. So another example of mitzvah potam in asukah they give in Shulchan Aruch is, let's say, the lights, someone forgot to set the lights, and the candles blew out, shine, and you're going to be eating in the dark in your sukkah. So that's a mitzvah. So it depends how uncomfortable is it to go to the next door neighbor to eat. See, if you're going to be dead embarrassed, or the next door neighbor lives an hour walk away, so then that's quite a mitzvah. So the din is talking mitzvah potam in asukah, except for the first night. The first night there's no mitzvah potam in asukah. But if it's not so uncomfortable to go to the next door neighbor, or let's say there's no erev and you can't carry the food, but the next door neighbor has more than enough food, so I'll go and I'll explain, my lights went out, I forgot to set the clock, whatever, and I'd like to eat in your sukkah. So if I'm not too embarrassed, so that's not called a mitzvah. It all depends how embarrassed the person is, how uncomfortable it's going to be when you get to that to the other sukkah. In Shulchan Aruch, a minig is mentioned that an ovil doesn't go around with hoshinus. It's a difficult minig because one doesn't observe avelus on avelus behesia, not on yontav, not on chalamoid. So Rabbi Yankiv Emden asked the question. He doesn't fully understand. Rabbi Yankiv Emden tones it down. He thinks that the minig not to go around hoshinus by the ovil only applies to chalamoid. On Yontif, he should go around. Why? Because on Yontif, you're not allowed to show Avelus Bechias. And what's Chalamoid? It's the same thing as Yontif. It's a very difficult compromise, what Rabbi Yankiv Emden made. I think most places the minhag is the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. One is an avelus doesn't go around with Hashan. So what should he do? He says he should give his dalad minhag to someone else. Give it to someone who doesn't have dalad minhag. Give it to a child that the child should go around. But that's usually the minhag that the avelim don't go around. Yiska the first year, the different minhagim, where the person does recite Yiska, doesn't recite Yiska. The main minhag is that you do recite Yiska even the first year, after a parent dies, unless the person knows for sure that his minhag is not. Okay? So then you tell them that's not. But if they don't know one way or the other, so the minhag, the more common minhag is that one does say Yiska even the first year. Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo has a long arichas about this, that if you tie your dalad minim before Yom Tov, you should really tie with a kesher agabi kesher. But if you didn't, if you forgot to tie the dalad minim before Yom Tov began, so on Yom Tov you're not allowed to tie a kesher agabi kesher, then he says you just wrap it around and you tuck it in. By us, though, the question is whether that whole Ramo applies. What do you mean? You have to tie it around a kesher agabi kesher on Erev Yom Tov? The Mishnah Berurah quotes from one of the Achrayim, Agura Bohalecha. He only quotes from here in Hilchas Sukkah. Some say, I don't know who it is, Agura Bohalecha. That the keshikel that we have, that geflochten, it's woven crisscross from the loving strips, that itself constitutes a Gesha Gabi Kesha. So he says, even if you wouldn't tie it around at all, you already have a Kesha Gabi Kesha. So when you put in your Hadas and your Arovas, you already have a Kesha Gabi Kesha. That's why most people are not makbid when they wrap around even on Erev Yom Tov. That I'm makbid to make a kesher agabi kesher double knot. And some are makbid about that also. Okay, I understand that Rabbi Simon is going to go through the dinim of double knot, so we'll cover that area. Very good. Sure? Okay.
Anybody have a few extra questions?
We're in Kittel, the first time married.
The Maram Shik was asked in the Chugas about that. What is that minig all about? So he lived in Hungary. So he says the boys used to get married at the age of 15, 16. They were so young. So they looked like babies. So he said it would look so ridiculous. This little baby is wearing a fisher. He's wearing a kittel. So that's why they introduced the minig that they should wait till after being married 1 year, then they'll already look ancient. But by us, who gets married at the age of 15? We are already ancient before we get married. So we put on a kittel the first year. He said that's the only reason why they didn't wear it. Very good. You should have atzlocha in the rabbinate. It's a very fulfilling position to be in. The balabatim listen, and they're interested in learning. They're not interested in everything you have to say, but they're interested in a lot of things that you have to say. And if you say it right, in a sweet way, they'll go even for the things that they're not interested in listening. Very good. Good to have everybody.
Okay, Rav Osai, what we're going to do is we're going to have a working lunch now. We didn't want to keep you longer than necessary. So we're going to take about a 5-10 minute break. Everybody take lunch. Everybody take dinner. And then we're going to split up into two groups. Let me just first of all introduce Rabbi Beitler. For those who don't know, Rabbi Gary Beitler, who's a Rebbe and MTA, and works with us especially with the Chinuch guys.
So we say the dean is supporting all the things.